Dang straight, little boss. World Baseball Classic Championship tonight. USA versus Japan. Not Venezuela, who Landrum was pulling for, but the United States of America.
Oh, glory.
Trey Turner.
Yes.
Nolan Arenado. Paul Goldschmidt. Realmuto. Tucker.
Do we know who's pitching tonight?
No.
All right. I'll look up the pitching. Is it going to be Wainwright? I would figure you would know.
No, Wainwright pitched the other night.
Oh.
When we eliminated who we played the other night. Venezuela.
Was it Venezuela?
It was.
Because
Ronald Acuna Jr.
He's gone missing, apparently.
He was crying.
According to you.
He was crying after the game.
He's gone missing in Miami.
My friends at Bucks Island, they work hard to help people like you enjoy the outdoors. Whether your idea of fun is kayaking, cruising on a pontoon, or fishing boat, Bucks Island has got you covered. Head over to Bucks Island in Southside, Alabama. Close enough for a deal you'll feel good about. And if you need tackle, rods, reels, come visit the loft at Bucks Island. Bucks Island is your one stop for all your boating needs. Visit Bucks Island in Southside, Alabama. Visit them online at bucksisland.com or call them 1-800-I'M-READY.
All right, by the way, Merrill Kelly is going to get the start tonight for
from the Diamondbacks.
Team U.S. So does that, without me having to look out the stats, it was 13-8 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad, 3.37 earned run average. A lot of reaction to what Nick Saban had to say yesterday. Spring practice is going on inside the SEC around college football. Here to join us, Mike Griffith of DogNation.com and the AJC, and he joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. Mike, a lot of play around here, a lot of reaction here locally, also nationally to Nick Saban, his opening comments. Your thoughts when you heard the comments? Did you read into them like it was maybe calculated, something else he might have wanted to include, or do you think it was just coincidence?
No, I don't think there's any coincidence with Nick Saban or Kirby Smart when they say things, and I think that's Nick Saban's way of, you know, saying that that's not how football's going to work. You know, that's his statement. He doesn't want what's happened with Alabama basketball to bleed over into how he runs his program. He doesn't want any messages to be mixed that Alabama football would not go to those lengths. To win championships. You know, Alabama basketball and Alabama football are two different entities under the same umbrella, but he's making it very clear that that's not going to be tolerated and that's not how his program runs. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I think that's most of the people's take here. We've seen this is the 17th. It's so weird to say that, Mike, that this is the 17th spring practice for Nick Saban. So he is pretty direct when it comes to certain things, especially around his football program. Well, one thing about his football program starting spring is a quarterback competition. I wanted to ask you about what's the latest, or is anything new that you can tell us about what's going on with the Georgia quarterback competition as spring gets underway in Athens?
Yeah, not really. I mean, you know, they have a pretty good idea what they've got with these guys, but neither one of these guys have played in any meaningful time, taking any meaningful snaps when the game's, you know, in the balance. So you don't know what you don't know. And you put them in situations in practice, and you have different looks with what type of offense and what type of personnel you're going to use. And it's really just kind of a feel thing. There's really no bad answer. It's just kind of which quarterback fits the best. Which quarterback does the team seem to respond to? And that's going to take time to determine. So this is something to go through the spring and into fall drills. And, you know, Kirby will be thorough with it, as he always is. And, it'll play itself out. Georgia has a generous schedule. The SEC kind of, took that game away. They were supposed to play at Oklahoma early in the year. But, you know, with Oklahoma and Texas joining the league and, you know, the return game wasn't going to be till 2031. So the SEC was kind of like, you know, was put the kibosh on that road trip out there. Not Georgia's fault. So they replace him with Ball State, and all of a sudden they've got a very light schedule that gives them plenty of runway, to get this team up and running.
Mike Griffith, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs, DogNation.com. Also, the AJC joins us, as all of our guests do, on the Bud Light Hotline. Mike, talent in, talent out. That's how it goes in college football these days. It's really always gone that way. to more an extent. Now, when you look at Georgia this time of year versus this time last year, where are the Dogs on paper in better shape position-wise and position group-wise than they were with so much attrition last year?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, they had, 15 guys drafted and 5 guys went to the NFL. We didn't know how good these linebackers were going to be. We knew how good Jalen Carter was going to be. You know, they had, 18 early enrollees last year, so there were a lot of questions. Now, those questions got answered. You know, Malachi Starks at safety and for Lewis Cine, I mean, that was an area, you know, you lose a first-round safety, you expect that there's going to be a dramatic drop-off. But, you know, here comes this true freshman. Just did an unbelievable job. Freshman All-American semifinalist for Freshman of the Year. He fills a gap. Lassiter at cornerback, of course, kid that played football there in Tuscaloosa that, you know, filled the starting spot that was vacated by Darian Kendrick, another NFL guy that, you know, they'd gotten from Clemson out of the portal the year before, stepped into that role. So they had a lot of the right answers. Kenny McIntosh obviously turned out to be one of the most versatile backs in recent SEC history with over 800 yards rushing, over 500 yards receiving, joining Dexter McCluster and Percy Harvin as the only SEC players to do that since 2000. So they had a lot of guys that stepped up and played really well. Broderick Jones, left tackle, steps in for Jamari Salyer, becomes a first-round draft pick, projected first-round pick. So there's questions at tackle. There's questions at quarterback. Questions, you know, Darnell Washington's kind of an irreplaceable figure. Don't think you're going to see that two tight end look that gave so many people trouble last year. I think you'll see more of a conventional 11 personnel look. We'll have to see how Demetric Lovett, the player from Missouri, steps in, transfer in the slot, looks dynamic so far as he's been dominant. And Ra-Ra Thomas, an Alabama kid from Eufaula, transferred in from Mississippi State. He looks to be the X with A.D. Mitchell moving on to Texas. So it's certainly not a given, but Georgia and Kirby's track record, much like Alabama's, I think we can say that now, and I know that probably still puts chills in Alabama, but, you know, hey, Georgia's the two-time defending champion now, so Kirby's proven he can do it, and the onus is going to be on him to prove it again. New coordinator Mike Bobo comes in, still receiving some of that buyout money from Auburn. You know, making about $1 million a year at Georgia plus whatever. I think he's getting about $900,000 from Auburn over these next couple of years. So it would appear that they've got the goods, but, you know, chemistry is important, and, you know, only time will tell in that respect.
Mike, I know you've covered a lot of great coaches throughout your tenure, and I wanted to ask you about Tom Izzo because he has got obviously your old school there, Michigan State, in the Sweet 16. I know he's only won one national championship, but just talk about how he is unheralded as not only a college basketball coach, but just overall one of the best coaches in all the college sports.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Yeah, you know, I think he's recognized now. I mean, I think I think if you were to ask people the top 5 college basketball coaches, he'd be in that conversation. But you're right, he doesn't, you know, get the same sort of, you know, hype that a lot of other coaches do. And there's a couple reasons for that. One's the media market. We used to call, when I covered Michigan State, we called it the blue wall. It wasn't just me. A lot of people in Michigan, they call it the blue wall. And what the blue wall is, and Auburn people can probably relate a little bit, is that Michigan dominates the coverage so much up there because its proximity to Detroit and is more viewed as more of a national program. And so there's a feeling that the media gives Michigan preferential treatment over Michigan State. And there's plenty of metrics that would support that. And, you know, Michigan people, you know, get in a huff, and some of the news agencies up there will decry that and say that's not true. but it is true. I covered the state. I looked at the metrics. I worked for news organizations. I know it's true. Similar to how Alabama gets preferential media treatment over Auburn in the state of Alabama. And you can trace it back to the advertising dollars. Now, I won't go any further into it. You guys know the dynamics just like I do. But that's part of it, right? That's part of it that you know, that is those at Michigan. But that's also part of why so many people at Michigan State love Tom Izzo. Because Tom Izzo could have left for the NBA long ago, like Billy Donovan left Florida, right? He could be coaching. He could have been coaching the NBA 3-4 times over. But he has a passion for Michigan State. He knows what he's up against in Michigan, and he stays to fight that fight. And, you know, he's a guy, by the way, it's very close with Nick Saban. One of the cool things when I covered Michigan State from 12 to 16, as I talked to Tom, I did a kind of a takeout on Nick Saban and Mark D'Antonio and, you know, how Michigan State football wouldn't have had that top 10 run under Mark D'Antonio if not for Nick Saban. Now, Nick Saban's time at Michigan State is kind of a mixed bag. He did advance the program, but in other ways he failed the program. But he needed to fail for the next guy to succeed, right? I'm kind of going deeper here with this question than you asked. But part of the reason why Michigan State finally got their act together was that Nick asked for things that they couldn't deliver. And Saban basically said, look, I'm here to win championships. And if you're not going to deliver the things I need to win championships, then I'm getting on this plane and I'm going to LSU. I'm going someplace where they will deliver. And by God, that's what he did. And Michigan State was kind of looking at themselves like, what just happened here? I think a Hall of Fame coach just walked out on us. Now, no one will come right out and say that, but that's what happened. So when D'Antonio comes around and he gives them signs of life with some big wins, and he says, I need A, B, and C, a lot of those people that were there when Nick walked out the door looked at each other and said, let's not let this happen again. Let's fork up the money. Let's spend the money. Let's invest in the program. And that enabled Michigan State to win a couple Big Ten championships and beat Urban Meyer and Ohio State a couple times when they really shouldn't have because of D'Antonio's coaching and because their facilities got good enough. So Nick Saban will always be a huge part of Michigan State's success, even though he didn't win a bowl game there himself. Now, this is where Izzo comes in. Izzo and Saban were tight. There's a lot of the same mentality with these guys. The difference is, you know, Saban has got this edge toward the media, and I don't really understand why. It's almost like some newspaper guy, you know, I don't know, kicked his dog or something. But Izzo is a man of the people, whereas Nick isn't, Izzo is. Izzo embraces the public. Izzo embraces the fan base. On Saturdays, football days, Tom Izzo's driving around in a golf cart before the game in the parking lots, hanging out with fans, tailgating. I mean, this is really happening. Like, this guy really does this. He has a coach's show every week. He plays the accordion around Christmas for him. He leaves, like, walking through the crowd, like, almost body surfing practically. I mean, Tom Izzo is a man of the people, and he doesn't put the airs on. You know, he doesn't stiff his local media and only talk to ESPN. He talks to his local media. He's a Michigan man. He's proud of who he is and what he is, and he's a folk hero. So he may not have the same kind of national hype that others do, but in his community in that state of Michigan, you know, like I said, he really is. He's truly a folk hero, and he knows that he was made to be the straight man. I mean, that game against Duke last year with some of the calls Krzyzewski was getting, you saw Izzo just bend over and laugh at the scorer's table. It's like they're doing it to me again, man. He knew they were doing it to him again. He has gone through so much of that junk with Mike Krzyzewski. And by the way, didn't that Duke game get called differently against Tennessee? You think that game would have been called like that if Coach K was on the sideline?
No.
I don't think so.
Nope.
Not at all.
Great stuff. Mike Griffith, DogNation.com and the AJC, at Mike Griffith 32 on Twitter. Mike, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Probably more Michigan State than you ever wanted to hear.
No, listen, that's why I asked you the question. I knew that you, hey, listen, if there was anybody that would know the ins and outs of Tom Izzo, it would be you. And listen, I love the guy. I think he's fantastic.
He's so great. I wish you could hear his off-the-record comments. It's even better.
Oh, man.
Even better.
No, he's fantastic.
I think my favorite Tom Izzo was just from a few years ago where it came up about handshaking, like the handshake line. And he just went off about, are we really talking about shaking hands after a game? Is this really what it's come to? No, Izzo's great. I love it.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, Mike, you're great as well.
Thank you so much.
All right, Mike. Take care.
We appreciate you. That is Mike Griffith. very quick on that. He must have had another call. On the Bud Light Hotline, carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Pat, Bud Light is there.
I want to remind everybody, if you're having a corporate event, party of any type, like Big Whiskeys in Hoover, cater that event. They've got an outdoor patio, green space with games. It's perfect for families. After an evening out, come in for late happy hour. They've got an extensive bar of over 100 whiskeys, including three on tap, offering whiskey flights, lunch specials every day, along with drink specials. Happy hour 3 to 6. Stadium Trace Village off I-459, Highway 150 near the Hoover Met. Big Whiskeys.
What Nick Simmons had to say yesterday about Tony Mitchell and his arrest, calculated, not calculated. Also, we're going to hear from Auburn coach Hugh Freeze. Rolls your way next here on this Tuesday edition of Three Man Front and Jocks 94.5.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.